Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'll just say I speak often about the fact that my grandparents, who were Holocaust survivors, were eligible to receive reparations from the German government. And by the way, my grandmother and grandfather thought about it very differently. My grandfather said, I don't want to give them the ability to send me money and then feel like they're off the hook. And my grandmother said, hey, if they're willing to send me some help in exchange for murdering my parents and some of my siblings, I'll take it.
Welcome to Just the Facts with me, Jill Wine Banks, and my special guest today, Daniel Biss, mayor of Evanston, the town I live in, and also a candidate for Congress, sure to be elected because Evanston is completely Democratic and he is the Democratic candidate. So happy 4th of July, Daniel.
Happy Independence Day, and thank you for having me. And we take nothing for granted around here at Biss for Congress, but I'm hopeful to be elected.
Good. I think you should continue to work because I think on this Independence Day, everyone needs to be fighting for our country and for the rights that we know. And I want to talk to you today about a very special reparations program that Evanston is the first in the nation to have implemented. And so just so that everyone understands, could you just very briefly describe what the reparations program is, and most importantly, who is eligible to apply for benefits under it?
Yeah, thank you for asking, because frankly, it's a little bit different than what people may first assume when they hear the word reparations. This is not directly addressed at reparations for the historical crime of slavery. This is about what Evanston as a city, as a community has done. And so there's been research done that unearthed at least 50 years of deliberate discrimination by the city of Evanston from the years 1919 to 1969, where we worked to enforce federal redlining policies, worked to drive resources toward the segregated whites-only part of the city and away from the majority black parts of the city. What does that mean? That means that in white neighborhoods, there were nicer parks, there were better public services, there were better facilities. And so what happened? Property values diverged, and you saw white families become wealthier and black families lose wealth because of the city's actions. And so what we've said is, listen, that's a debt that we accrued. That is something that the city government did deliberately that had consequences that are being felt today in Evanston. And so because it's mostly around the area of housing, most of the reparations program is in the form of housing-related grants, either to make a down payment toward a home or to do renovations or improvements on a home for Black Evanstonians who either were living in Evanston during the time of that documented discrimination or are direct descendants of those who were. And again, the basic feeling is we know because of the documented historical record that we accrued a debt, and therefore, we believe we have a responsibility to pay it back.
Okay, so I have some specific questions, which is, it's my understanding that if you lived in and can show that you were hurt by the deliberate discriminatory practices of the city of Evanston, that you are eligible, that it is not limited just to blacks who, black residents during that period or descendants of those. Is that correct?
Anybody who can show discrimination and show that they were directly harmed is eligible. And so I feel that we wrote a law, or both we and those who came before me wrote a law that is carefully crafted and designed to address the real issues that we caused. And that's why we believe that it's constitutional. We knew when it was passed that there would be lawsuits, and those lawsuits became more complicated just recently.
Yes. And of course, we want to talk about that. But before I talk about that, which is the Department of Justice joining in an existing lawsuit or asking to be allowed to participate in that lawsuit. Do you think in retrospect that if you had used different terminology, this might be a better understood program? Because as you started your explanation, you said this isn't really reparations for slavery. This is reparations for damages that the city caused by its own actions. And so it's basically, you don't have to sue us. You can make your claim and we'll handle the claim. So if you had called it restitution for damages, if you had called it in some way to more accurately reflect what it is, do you think the lawsuits might not have happened, that the Department of Justice might not have tried to intervene?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I want to be transparent that this was named before I was the mayor, yes, so I was not in those conversations. But I think you can imagine how they would have gone, which is to say, there are two sides of this. One side is we're trying to advance a global movement. We're trying to be a part of helping people understand that we have a responsibility to repair the harm that we have caused, whether that's a federal government that was founded with an explicit permission of chattel slavery, whether that's a municipality that enforced the segregation that was coming from other forces and then additionally drove resources to one part of town and not the other, mm-hmm. whether it's a university or what have you, that our basic attitude is if you caused harm, you have a responsibility to repair that harm. And of course, you know, you might say, what would you call it if you're repairing harm other than reparations? The other side might say, hey, keep your head down, do the right thing, but don't make too much fanfare about it because you might attract criticism. And you know, you could see both sides of the argument. But I will say that the upside has happened, which is that municipalities, states, other jurisdictions across the country and even across the world have come to Evanston saying, hey, tell us more about what you did right. so we can figure out if we should do the same. And I do think that's part of what you want to be as a municipality that's forward-looking, be an example to others and help be part of, you know, the cliche, the laboratory of democracy that makes our whole country better.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
You know, when I moved to Illinois in 1980 and looked at places to live, one of the things that attracted me to Evanston as a residence was how integrated the community was, both economically and racially. And to me, that was an important element for me to live in a place like that. So I'm proud. And while we are the first municipality or state in the United States to do this, it's not without precedent. Other countries have taken actions to pay damages for harms done. And so it's not without precedent.
That's absolutely so right. I'll just say I speak often about the fact that my grandparents, who were Holocaust survivors, were eligible to receive reparations from the German government. And by the way, my grandmother and grandfather thought about it very differently. My grandfather said, I don't want to give them the ability to send me money and then feel like they're off the hook. And my grandmother said, hey, if they're willing to send me some help in exchange for murdering my parents and some of my siblings, I'll take it.
Yeah. Of course, the penalties there are far more severe than the economic harm that Evanston may have inflicted. And of course, I'm sorry for your never knowing your great grandparents. And
Thank you.
Germany is one of those that I was referring to when I said other countries have made reparations for damages they caused. And to try to do justice in some way, although you can't undo the harm completely. So let's talk about very just briefly the Department of Justice. Some non-black residents of Evanston filed a lawsuit saying that they were being discriminated.
Non-residents, actually. Interesting. Oh,
they're
non,
Yeah. Wait, I didn't. How could they possibly?
Yeah, it's an interesting. I'm not a lawyer. I'll just say you're posing an interesting question, Jill. But that's
so. Yes. All right. So there's one reason to dismiss their lawsuit, which is you're not a resident of Evanston. You can't get any benefits. I'm assuming they're claiming they at least had a
there's some nexus,
family member. There has to be some nexus, or this would be thrown out just on an initial motion to dismiss. But in any event, the Department of Justice has now sought to intervene on the grounds that you are violating the Constitution and the fair housing laws. And I've looked at the lawsuit and or their attempt to intervene and go, I don't think so, because you're not paying attention to what the real harm done was and who is eligible, which is we are not doing this on a racial basis. It's based on, were you harmed by the actions of Evanston? So what's your feeling in general about the attempt? What are your lawyers telling you about whether they will succeed or fail?
Well, first of all, you know this, but I just think it's important to say, I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to comment on the details of ongoing litigation. But what I will say is a few things. Number one, we believe that we crafted something that is sensible, that is a solution, that is designed for a specific problem, and that is constitutional. Number two, we intend to continue defending it. We have excellent counsel who feel like we have a very, very strong case, and we'll defend this vigorously in court. And number three, it is kind of interesting, isn't it, that the lawsuit or the effort to intervene in the lawsuit from the Trump administration is happening now after this program has been up and running for years, after the lawsuit that they're attempting to intervene in has itself existed for years. It doesn't seem like they thought this was some sort of pressing constitutional crisis until a few weeks ago. And I just think this is of a piece with how they operate, which is intimidation, which is bullying, which is retribution, which is trying to make sure that people and institutions across the country know that if they advance either a policy agenda that the Trump administration doesn't agree with, or simply participate in dissent from the Trump administration's positions, that there will be retribution. And they're trying to intimidate people out of acting in accordance with their own values. And I hope it won't work. And it certainly won't work with the city of Evanston as long as I'm the mayor.
Yeah, it is all part of they're trying to rewrite history as well. And they just won a lawsuit, at least temporarily, about their removal of signage in our national parks, where we used to have signs that said this place was where slaves were sold, for example.
Yeah.
And no, slaves were never sold here in America, so we're going to just eliminate those signs. And the courts ordered them to take them, to replace them, and now there is a injunction against replacing them. So it is all part of the same thing of rewriting history.
I know that you want to move on from the past discussion, but I just want to highlight something that you said about Nazi Germany. It's not just that the Germans paid reparations. It's that there is a ongoing, decades-long, sustained effort inside Germany to educate people about what the German government did, to commemorate the millions and millions of lives that were lost owing to mass state murder, and to design a government system and a society and culture around the principle of never again. And the erasure of your ability to commemorate your mistakes of the past is exactly the precondition for repeating them.
Yes.
And that's what I think the Trump administration is intentionally doing, not even unwittingly. I think they're intentionally saying, we're laying the groundwork for more racism by making sure we don't acknowledge the racism of the past.
I can't think of a better way to end this discussion than to say, hear, hear. You are completely correct. And this relates to our November election and the primaries that are going on right now. It relates to everything that the Trump administration is doing. it's sort of why I don't feel like celebrating this 4th of July. I was in Washington in 1976 when we celebrated our 200th anniversary. And that was a celebration. There was joy. And yeah. It wasn't about the president. It was about the history of our country. And no one was rewriting it. In fact, we were acknowledging that we had had a criminal president who had resigned from office. And there was joy in Washington. It was wonderful. This year, we are seeing an empty mall where there should be huge crowds because Donald Trump has used our tax dollars to create something that no one wants to be part of. So thank you. And here in Evanston, I think we have a lot to celebrate. And I'm so glad that you're our mayor. Thank you for your service and good luck in November.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the conversation. And we'll work together to build the kind of country that we dream of.